Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darling, and welcome back to The Liberated Life. It is such a gift to have you here with me. So thank you for tuning in today. Today, we're going to explore something that has been bubbling in my awareness for a little while and feels like it's about time that we talk about this. And it's this idea that we have become professionally overdeveloped and relationally underdeveloped as a society at large. And this is something that I have seen in almost every single woman I've worked with and hugely seen in myself. And to be perfectly honest, continue to work with in myself. The thing is that so many of us, high achiever types, know how to achieve. We know how to strategize, to perform, to show up at work and do incredibly well, to get promotions, to come across as shiny, to basically nail our careers and live pretty shiny, impressive lives. But when it comes to staying open in love and in intimacy and in the uncertainty that relationships bring, we kind of go a little bit cuckoo. And there's no shame in this. I do this. I'm sure a lot of us listening to this do this. And I just want to bring into our awareness what is actually going on. So this episode, the intention here is that it's a mirror. We're going to talk a little bit about the masks we wear relationally to keep ourselves safe. And what happens when we finally stop performing and actually start leaning into what it means to relate rather than perform. So wherever you are listening to this, I just invite you here to just take a deep breath, maybe placing one hand on your heart, one hand on your lower belly, and just connecting to yourself for a second, taking a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Yeah. Okay. So back when I was in investment banking, I genuinely feel like I spent that decade of my life effectively being rewarded for how tightly I could hold my shit together. Like how sharp I was, how able I was to like push back on people and keep notes on things and show up in meetings looking professional. It was like the sharper I was, the safer I felt. And walking into the office, even though it was extremely stressful in some ways, walking in, I was like, I am good at this. I kind of feel safe in this arena of dealing with loads of questionable personalities and showing up in a professionally impressive way. Now, I was trained in many ways to be like this. I was very academic all the way through school. I went to a very good university. I did a very academic degree. I don't know why I did chemistry, but I've had a very wiggly road through life. So I did 4 years doing chemistry. Then I went into banking and I was kind of given this blueprint for life that was like, you're a high achiever. You're like quite high functioning, like highly competent in many ways. And that was like my little area of expertise. So I was like, I am just good at doing this professional stuff. Like, in effect, I'm professionally pretty overdeveloped, really. Like, I can nail all of this stuff. I can go into meetings. I can deal with really senior people without, like, getting flustered. I can do all of this stuff. Amazing. But when it came to my relationships, both friendships and intimate relationships, it was a whole other thing. It was like, I could deal with the stress of the trading floor. I could handle the pressure to a certain degree. I could handle like going into meetings with extremely senior people and holding my own, but I could not handle being seen by someone who cared about me. I could not stay open in love. And side note, this is continues to be my work. I'm not sitting here as a guru in any way, but I have come a long, long way. And I think that this is a paradox that so many capable women hold. We've mastered survival in the workplace, but completely forgotten, or not even forgotten, but haven't really had the opportunity to develop our sense of safety in connection. So today's conversation is really an invitation to relearn that safety from the inside out. So we're going to be exploring this in a little bit more depth. So as I mentioned, I say a few years ago, it wasn't really a few years ago. It was like, God, time goes quickly. About 5 years ago, I was still in banking. I was there for 10 years. My life looked incredible on paper. I had all of the Sandra and Maj dresses. I had Cartier earrings. I had a beautiful flat. I went on long haul holidays. I was like buying Dalesford farmers market food all the time. I was like, my life was pretty sweet. It was pretty sweet. Like, I had done incredibly well. Everything looked on paper, tick, 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 tick. There was always a part of me that felt a little bit like, I don't know what I'm doing in my romantic life. I feel very confused here. But I just kind of swept that under the rug because I was doing well professionally. And I ended up, whilst I was on this period of working very hard and doing my banking thing, I used to go on retreats because I was single and all my friends were in relationships, and it was a good way to go on holiday and not end up sitting on a sun lounger on my own for a week because there'd be other people on the retreat. And I went on this retreat in Italy that I know I've talked about before. And the woman who was running it was a little bit mental, to be honest, but she was a wonderful woman. She was just going through some challenges of her own. And one day we were talking a little bit about my life over breakfast, and I was sitting there like still, to be honest, in my professional veneer of like, I have this big job and I like make all this money and I'm like doing really well and blah, 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 blah. And she turned around to me. It was such a brutal reflection in hindsight, but she turned around to me and she was like, Lucy, you know what I see in you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was thinking she was going to be like, you're so impressive and professional. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, you're brittle. And I was like, sorry, what? Brittle? She's like, you're brittle. You're like very, very like hard on the outside, very shiny, very professional, very got your stuff all together. But it's like, if I tapped you a little bit too hard, you'd crumble. It's almost like there's this armor around you, and inside there's like this really beautiful, tender, vulnerable version of you, but there's this like brittleness to you. And it really hit me. Like, I remember going back to work the next week and saying to my boss, like, I was just told I was brittle. Like, it really, I don't know why, but it just, it knocked me in a good way that I was like, oh, I thought at that point that I was just shiny and professional and good at things. I wasn't even aware that anyone could really see through it. And as I kind of sat with it and did a little bit more Googling, as I used to spend a lot of time Googling, I'm sure we now do the same in ChatGPT. Guys, please be careful with ChatGPT. Please don't use it as a therapist. Please. You can use it for advice, but just don't use it as a therapist. That's my genuine opinion here. Anyway, side note, I was Googling loads about it. And that was the point when I realized I'd spent, how old was I then? Probably like 28. I spent 28 years developing my professional muscles, like logic, control, composure, whilst my relational muscles atrophied completely. Like, I was almost embarrassed. Like, if I think about it, like how professionally had my shit together I was at work. I was like, oh my God, imagine if people at work knew how mental I was in my romantic relationships. Like, this is not cool. It was almost like two completely different versions of me. It was brutal, really, to recognize that in myself. Because the thing was that I was using this very professional veneer to a certain degree in my relationship life. So I would go on dates and I knew how to perform. I knew how to be perfect. I knew how to like lead and like do all of the impressive stuff, but I had no idea how to let myself be loved. Zero. Like, I didn't know how to stay when things got real. I didn't know how to manage conflict. I didn't know how to ask my needs to be met. For me, success, professional success, was so much easier than intimacy. Oh my God, it was like respite from the mania of human relating. Because the truth is that professional success didn't really ask me to be seen. It did in a professional sense of like going into a meeting and presenting or whatever, but it wasn't really me, you know? It was me with my veneer of talking about stuff that I didn't really care about. It was an act. And as I kind of sat with this realization, I realized that this mask that I'd put on, this shiny veneer, it wasn't a failure necessarily. Like, it was an amazing adaptation. It was an amazing adaptation that I had developed for a long time to help me survive in systems that reward control, reward shininess, reward professional success, and punish softness. Like, I don't know that many women who have grown up in an environment that are like, oh my God, it's amazing. You're so vulnerable and you cry and you're really emotional. Like, wonderful, explore that. No, most of us are like brought up in environments that say like, no, don't do that. Go and be impressive. I can't tell you how many clients I have that experience this. Like, really, really professionally amazing. And then when it comes to softening into themselves, letting themselves be seen, letting themselves be in their softness and their vulnerability, it's really hard. It's really hard. But the thing is that the mask that I was wearing, this shiny veneer, it was taking me on a track, which was professionally amazing for sure, but it wasn't really taking me where I wanted to go. And it couldn't take me where I wanted to go. Because where I really wanted to go was into belonging, into safety, into being in connection with people. And that veneer was pretend. So how can you be in connection with people when you're pretending? Like, kind of brutal realization, right? It's like, how can you ever expect to be in connection or to feel that you belong or to feel that you're seen when you're relating from a mask? Like, it seems obvious, but it's also like, oh God, really? That is so true, you know? So I want you just now just to take a breath with me. Like, just take a breath here, maybe giving a little sigh, letting all of that kind of settle into your system. And I want you to reflect here on what mask you wear when things feel a little bit too close. Like, what is the mask that you wear that maybe keeps you polished and capable and impressive and got your shit together, but perhaps slightly out of reach to people? Maybe you like to put on the act of you're fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm always fine. I'm fine. Or the I've got it all together. Don't need any help. Hyper independent. Like, how embarrassing to ever need anyone mask. Maybe it's the cool girl. God, I played with the cool girl. The cool girl who never needs too much, who's chill, you know? All of those masks of professional overdevelopment at work. It's an act of control as protection. And there's nothing wrong with this. There's no shame. It's all like beautiful adaptations to try and keep ourselves safe and try and keep ourselves loved. But they're adaptations that don't really work as adults quite as well. So I really encourage you here not to shame yourself if you notice something within you. Just see it. Because the moment we can see it and name it, it becomes slightly more possible to reopen the parts of us that still know how to relate, the deeper parts of us. Now, none of us woke up and thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make human relating really complicated and it almost impossible to ever have a healthy relationship. Like, we didn't do this intentionally. But we just became fluent in the language of performance. And in that, forgot the language of presence. We were trained to a certain degree, you know. For a lot of us who were academic, who got good jobs, who saw themselves as a professional one, who maybe hid behind their professional success to hide their relational challenges. Like, we become really good at performing and it feels safe there. Understandably, it feels safe there. We get worth, we get validation, we get praise. So we just keep going down that road because it feels easier. But in that, we forget how to be with other people. And then when we try to be with other people, we maybe go on a date and we perform. And then we come away feeling a bit empty, and a bit lonely, and like, I'm not really sure if they got me, and we blame the other person when we were actually the one that was putting on an act. Or maybe we let ourselves open a little bit and then we freak. Our nervous system reads that opening as danger because it hasn't happened for so long. The protection started to melt and it's like, oh my God, this is not safe. This is not safe. So we go into management. We go into overthinking, overfunctioning. Maybe we go into like those anxiety spirals of like, oh my God, blue ticks, no reply. Maybe we get the ick as a neat little way to push the other person away so that we don't have to open. But none of this really helps with our desire for real connection. Because real connection requires our capacity to be with another. It requires vulnerability. It requires eye contact, breath, the capacity to be with our experience. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy, but it's so, so rewarding. Because the truth is, you can be emotionally starving in a life that looks really, really full. Like, you can be surrounded by people and still aching to be met. God, I have been in so many of those situations through my life. Surrounded by loads and loads of people and feeling deeply lonely, like aching loneliness. Because we're trying to connect from a mask. We're trying to connect from performance. And our heart can never be connected with because we're not connecting from our heart. We're connecting from this veneer. And this is what happens when we are so professionally overdeveloped and relationally underdeveloped. Like, life looks strong, it all looks shiny, but underneath there's a heart that's tender and is desperate to be seen. So here's a little experiment for you to take away. I want you to think of a moment this week when you noticed yourself holding it together. Maybe it was at work, maybe it was on a date with someone, maybe it was with a friend. And I want you to just have a think about what it would have felt like to not hold it all together. Like, what would it have felt like to let someone in, even a little? Like, this can look like dating, telling someone that you actually get quite anxious in the early phases of dating and you need consistent communication, or that you're quite afraid to open yourself up again because you've been hurt before. Or perhaps that you need quite a lot of space. And I know that that can feel really scary, really scary, when we're used to connecting through performance. But if we don't start to stretch into these spaces, we will continue to sit in our performance for our whole life and feel deeply lonely in the process. I'm not saying this is easy. It's not easy, but you can do hard things, as Glennon Doyle would say. And you spent years strengthening the muscles that help you succeed in your profession. You know, you're a capable human being. I know you are. So you have the capacity to strengthen these other muscles that help you stay, that help you open. You have the capacity to find the parts of you that know how to be loved, how to be met, how to rest in connection with another, how to manage conflict without freaking, how to manage space. You don't need to perform to be loved. You just need to feel safe enough to stay. And this isn't safe enough based on the other person. This podcast is based off the definition that you are not in any form of very toxic dynamic. You're with healthy people who are doing their best. And in those circumstances, it's our responsibility to work on our own internal safety, to be able to stay open. And every single time you choose realness over performance, in a meeting, in a date, in a conversation with yourself, with friends, with family, you're rewiring what it means to feel safe in connection. You're moving from safety being through control to safety being through truth. Beautiful. So I want you to just take one big deep breath here with me. Thank you so much for being here and for being brave enough to build a life that's big enough to hold all of you and to stretch into these spaces. It takes courage to do this work, so much courage, and you're doing it. So I hope you can celebrate yourself for that. And we will close here for now. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would so. This isn't even a sentence that makes sense. If you have enjoyed this episode, I would so appreciate, that was what I was trying to say. I would so appreciate it if you could rate, review, or subscribe. It really, really helps. I can't tell you how much it helps. I know how many of you are listening to this podcast, and I'd love to see any comments, any reviews, and if you can share an episode with a friend, if you think one would resonate with them. Sending you so much love, and I will speak with you soon.